Maryland's news now.
On the only station that matters, WBAL.com.
A lot of reminiscing and perspective this past weekend as thousands went to Washington, D.C. to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the famous Civil Rights March of 1963. The actual anniversary of Martin Luther King's well-known I Have a Dream speech is this Wednesday. It is, of course, now legendary. But there are things about it and about that day that you may not know. With five secrets of the March on Washington is national correspondent for National Journal, Matthew Cooper. Matthew, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's look back 50 years and talk about some of those things that people probably don't realize that got kind of lost over the course of 50 years. And let's start with the Reverend King's speech, the very famous speech. So many people know excerpts of it. And you point out that much of it was improvised, particularly the part that we remember.
Well, that's right. He had worked on a heavily edited draft, but then he decided to chuck a lot of it that morning and do some riffs. Now, it wasn't entirely spontaneous. The dream part that we're most familiar with, he had done in various forms in a few other speeches that summer of 1963, but a lot of it was improvised, and it just shows you his powers as an orator.
Do you also find, as you put it, this made it edgier?
I think what's been the dream part of the speech is well known. The first part of the speech is edgier. It's a real critique, a real litany of complaint about American society at that time. And that part of the speech, I think if it had just been that half of the speech, it wouldn't have been nearly as memorable.
Now, a lot of people did talk about this, people who were there 50 years ago, and they were warned not to go to the march, that they could be beat up, that it was going to be violent. And you point out the district was ready for riots.
Well, that's right. It was almost considered understood that there would be violence. And so the District of Columbia's Police Department was on a full alert. They brought in 4,000 federal troops to back them up and had 15,000 paratroopers on standby. They also closed the liquor stores in Washington, D.C. For the first time since Prohibition.
But as it turned out, it was incredibly peaceful.
Well, that's right. I mean, and that was one of the things commentators noticed immediately, that for all the fears, it had been an incredibly peaceful march, and that added to the moral weight, the gravity of the civil rights movement.
Here's something I did not realize. 50 years ago, a gay man led the way.
Well, that's right. The main organizer of the 1963 March on Washington was a man named Bayard Rustin, who isn't as well known certainly as Martin Luther King or even other figures in the civil rights movement. But he'd been a longtime labor and civil rights activist, and he was brought in. He was also known as an organizational genius, and he was brought in to run this. Now, he had been arrested on what were called morals charges in the 50s, and while that was known to a small group, it wasn't widely known. And in fact, some people in the civil rights movement pushed for Rustin not to be involved. But the march's titular head, A. Philip Randolph, the big union leader, insisted that Rustin be there.
Why is it important that Representative John Lewis of Georgia rewrote his speech?
He is a revered figure in the civil rights movement now as then, but he was a young man, and he'd written a rather fiery speech that which he distributed to other leaders of the march the night before, and many of them thought it was too incendiary. It's very critical of President Kennedy. It had language like, we're going to march through the South like Sherman, and they urged him to tone it down, and he in fact did.
All right, Matthew Cooper, national correspondent for National Journal. Thank you so much for joining us and talking about the five secrets of the March on Washington.
Thanks very much.